Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
What a pleasure to have back on the program the gardening specialist of WGN for many, many, many years. If anyone had questions about gardening, about anything horticultural, they would go to Jim Fizell. And Jim joins us on the phone right now. Jim, how are you there, my friend?
Well, Dean, I'm fine, and it's good to visit with you. It's been a long time, and before we get any farther, I want to congratulate you on these well-deserved honors you're getting, the Hall of Fame and so forth.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Remember when you started down at WGN, and they had you locked in and chained to a desk, and you were doing voiceovers and announcements? Used to see you in the studios. I wondered if you ever got out in the sun.
Yeah, once in a while they would let me out to get some bread and water, but that was about it. But yeah, literally, some of the first shows that I did here on WGN were with you.
That's right.
And I know that you had done them for years before that. I knew of you from listening to you with Orion and Max. Talking about things. So, if anybody is a legend on WGN, I think it might be you.
Thank you very much. It's been fun. It has been a lot of years. I hate to think of that because that means we're getting older. Nonetheless, we keep going.
Nonetheless.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, boy, I think about you, when I go to my gardening centers, go to the places to get things going for my yard, which I put in part of it last weekend, part of it yesterday. This is the weekend. Man, if you ever had a weekend to get going with your gardens, this would be it, right?
Boy, isn't that the truth? What a wonderful weekend. We have warm weather. It's pretty dry. Some places got some moisture, but we have just about the right amount of moisture, quite a bit of sunshine, a few clouds here and there. But what a terrific time to be able to get outdoors. Hasn't always been this way on Memorial Day weekend, but it sure is this time.
Yeah, boy, that's the truth. I wanted to open up our phone lines like we used to do back in the day. And take questions from folks who may be working on gardening things, but also just cover some of the basics. People are thinking about, getting their gardens going, getting things started in the yard. Some of the basics we'll cover as well with Jim. But if you want to hop on the line right now, we'll take everybody in order. We're going to get as many calls in as we possibly can, 312-981-7200. We'll take some of your text questions also. But we'd love to hear from you on the phones, 312-981-7200. You're a gardener. Do I remember that correctly?
Look at my nails.
Mine are the same way.
I
scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed, and I still can't because I was out in the mud all day. Not mud, but I was in the dirt all day yesterday planting my putting the rest of my vegetable garden in.
I was doing the same thing after work.
Yeah, and that's what people are going to be doing this weekend, and that's why we wanted our pal Jim Fizell on the line, master horticulturist, WGN gardening specialist. Do you have any questions for Jim, Veronica? Anything that's puzzling you right now?
All right. So I was just thinking this yesterday while I was crawling around in the garden. Ants. When you get a bed of ants in your garden, Jim, are they going to eat plants? Can you just ignore them? I hate killing little critters unless I have to.
They're not going to eat your plants. They're going to make nests in the ground, which are hollows, holes. If they're in a bed where you have plants growing, the roots that are trying to grow into that spot are going to be desiccated, actually. They're not going to have any place to grow. Normally, ants don't do any damage unless they get into your homes. And we don't usually do a lot of things about them. There's some things that you can use to discourage them. Any of the soil insecticides will work. This material that has boron in it that you can buy at any of the garden soil stores, it's a dust. But you don't want to get that where you have root crops growing, and you certainly don't want to get it on any of your plants. So usually, my idea is just leave them alone. They eventually move someplace else if they're in the garden, and they don't really hurt anything. So like you say, you don't need to bother them.
Usually I'd ignore them until they start crawling on me, and then I realize they're there. So here's another question for you. Here's another question for you. I have a big garden, but I also have a bunch of planter boxes, and this is about the second or third year for my planter boxes. All of a sudden, everything is dying in my planter boxes. Is that just water, that they're not getting enough water, or
too much, or does the soil need to be treated?
Are you using one of these soil mixes that you buy at the garden center? What's in those planters?
I have a lot of acreage, so I just go out into the woods, dodge the poison ivy.
and
dig up a bunch of dirt and put them in my planter boxes, which is a lot of work, but once you get it done, you're good. And the first couple of years, everything grew like crazy, but this year, everything has died.
The soil breaks down. You have very carefully cultivated soil, not dirt. Dirt's what you sweep off the kitchen floor. You put it back outside, it becomes soil again. The soils that you have in your yard or your garden or out in the wooded areas really don't do well in containers because the structure of them breaks down pretty readily. If you're going to use those field soils, you need to mix them so that you have a combination of about one-third coarse sand, one-third organic material, which could be peat moss or compost, and one-third garden soil. Mix that up real thoroughly and put that into those planter boxes. You also need to make sure that the boxes have adequate drainage. This year, dryness is not a problem. If they're anywhere near where they're getting some rain, they've had plenty of water. So that's not a problem as yet. Although later in the season, if some of our long-range forecasts hold true, it will begin to get drier and you'll have to do some watering. But even then, you don't want the water to stay in the container because if it stays in the bottom of the container, it's eventually going to cause those roots to become anaerobic and they'll die off.
Now, I've got plenty of drainage, so I think it's just probably what you're saying about the soil mixture.
Do you need to do the same to the soil that's in the ground, Jim? Make sure that it's a proper, that it's the proper mixture of for optimal growing?
You need to add organic matter if you can. You don't need to put any sand in it. Normally, our field soils, you don't need to do that. In fact, you could buy sand till you're blue in the face, and it doesn't make an awful lot of difference. But organic material dug in as deeply as you can do it makes a lot of difference. That's really what you need to do to combat what people say is this horrible clay soil we have. This horrible clay soil is extremely productive, but it has to be handled correctly. You put organic material in it, and you don't work it when it's too wet or too dry, and it will do marvelous things for you.
All right, let's get to Mary, who has a question for Jim Fazell on WGN.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dean.
Mary.
Hi, Jim. I love listening to you. I'm out in my garden today, and hearing you, I said, I got to call and ask. I have a Carol Mackey that's about 6 years old. It's such a beautiful bush in the spring. And when I was out last weekend digging around weeding, I went, oh, my God, because the roots really spread out. And I want to know, can I just trim the branches back? Anything going to hurt that?
You can trim the branches back, but you need to be careful. Does that flower for you?
Oh, yeah, it really does. It's gorgeous. Yep.
Okay. If you cut it back right after the flowers begin to fade, you're going to have flowers every year. If you don't, you're not going to have flowers the following season. But those can be trimmed. Trim them back judiciously. And what I like to do is to take a branch that's overly long, trim it back to a side branch that's growing in about the same direction, which means that you're going to have to use a pair of shears and cut each individual branch and get it back to the shape it needs to be. It's a lot of work.
Boy, but I'm glad I asked. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. I'll keep listening. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
You're
you
welcome.
Very much for
Bye
the
now.
Call. And let's go to Karen, 312-981-7200, taking your questions about lawn, garden. You're on with Jim Fazell. Karen, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Karen.
Congratulations. Congratulations to you, Dean.
Thank you.
Jim, I am going to take my first crack at container gardening, and I thought I would start with tomatoes. I was wondering if you could give me some tips on growing some tomatoes in pots.
Oh, I want this question because for the first time, I grow tomatoes in the ground, but I had a couple of extra plants. I had no place to put them, so I put them in some giant pots, and I thought, I'm going to give it a try and see what happens.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it. In fact, there are parts of the country where that's the only way they grow them because of nematode problems. We don't have that problem here, but container gardening is really, it's really an art. And, of course, we have a lot of cliff dwellers here in the Chicagoland area, and they grow things out on their galleries and decks and so forth in containers. The first thing you need to do is to have a container that's large enough but not too large. If you're going to grow a tomato plant, you want a container that's maybe 5 gallons in size, and these plastic egg containers or whatever you can get at hardware stores, or you can get them from grocers that have them left over, will work fine. You need to put drainage in the bottom of them, and that needs to be enough holes that water, if you put water in it, it's actually going to run out. A lot of times I like to put the holes in the side, particularly if it's going to sit on a solid deck where the water can't really run out. If you put it on a solid deck and the holes are all in the bottom, you have to put a spacer underneath it so the water can get out.
Right.
Once you make sure you have drainage, then you need a soil mix. Now, I mentioned just a little bit ago about these planting mixes that you can make with field soil, peat moss or compost, and sharp sand. Now, you can buy good container mixes already mixed up for you. They don't contain soil or sand. They're just organic material, many times just compost or even peat moss with perlite or some other kind of material in it to give them a little bit of weight. They'll work just fine. You need to use them. Make sure that when you get these that they're moistened, because if they ever dry out, they'll never wet again. You'll have water running down through the pot, and you think it's wet, and you put your hand down, you find that it's powder dry. So don't plant anything unless that soil is absolutely wet, and make sure that it is. Then go ahead and plant up. Now, the thing that you need to remember about growing in containers is that you don't have soil around these plants for them to get moisture or fertility. So it's up to you to give them enough water and to give them enough fertility. You don't want to over-fertilize them, but periodically you need to use a dilute liquid fertilizer. I like to do it about 1/4 of the recommended rate, about every 3 or 4 waterings. Use this fertilizer solution instead of just the plain water. Now, for tomato plants, you're going to have to contain them some way or another. Hopefully, you have ones that are not going to get 6 feet tall. Those are the indeterminate kinds. If you have the bush type or the determinate ones, like Celebrity and some of these newer ones, or the little patio-type tomatoes, the container can be a wire cage around that. It could actually be a stake in the middle of the plant to which you tie the branches as they come up. And I do both of these ways, and they both work. And that's essentially it. If you have a full sun exposure on the west side of your house, and for instance, the pots themselves will heat up, and if you have the soil too hot, the roots will begin to die. So you need to be sure that you protect these a little bit from the full sun in the middle of the day. You can move the container or put up a shade on your porch so you can pull it down in the middle of the day to protect the plants a little bit. You don't want it dark, but you don't want it so bright that you heat the plant up. Now, that's especially true if you're gone and the plant could wilt. You don't want it to ever wilt when it's hot, because the moisture that's transpired through those plants is what keeps the plant the right temperature. And that's about it. Other than that, it's straightforward.
I can place this pot on either the north side or the northeast or the west. Do you have a recommendation?
Well, northeast, you're probably not going to get enough light. I would put it on the west side, and then make sure that you have some kind of shade that you can put between it and this full sun in the mid to late afternoon. And then take it away when the sun begins to set down, just to make sure you don't overheat the plant.
All right.
Okay, and the last question, do you have a recommendation on which type of tomato would be the best one to start with?
Well, there are patio tomatoes, and there's a variety that's called patio, and there are several of these small tomatoes. If you look in a catalog or you go to the garden center, you're going to find those that are designed for containers. That's the easiest kind to use in a container. There are others that will work, but they take some other efforts to make them behave.
Oh, come on. You got to get the beefsteaks, Karen. Come on.
Well, you can get them, but those are...
I don't think I'm ready for those yet, Dean. I got to graduate up to those.
Oh, those are so good.
Those are indeterminate types. They're really good, but they get big.
Well, it's whatever it is, it's worth it. 11:52, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Coming up after 12 o'clock, our conversation with Donnie and Marie Osmond. And we're cooking with the Weber Grill folks as well right now. Horticulture specialist Jim Fazell on the line, answering your questions at 312-981-7200. If you're out in the yard this weekend trying to make everything look as beautiful as possible, let's get to Mike. You are on WGN.
Hi, Dean. How you doing?
Very well. Welcome to the show. What can we help you with
today?
Thank you.
I wanted to ask Jim, how can I raise the frost and the potash separately? Is there anything that I can add that raises those levels?
The first one you said was which?
Phosphorus.
Phosphorus.
Oh, well, there are individual materials that you can buy. You can buy superphosphate, which increases phosphorus. You can buy potassium sulfate, which will increase the potassium, and use which either one you want without the other. You won't increase anything that you're not applying.
What would he want to be doing that, Jim? Why would you typically add that to your soil?
Well, in our soils, you really don't need that most of the time. We have plenty of phosphorus. It's a naturally occurring material, as is the potassium. The potassium is part of our clay material themselves. The potassium does come out of the clay, and the phosphorus is in rock phosphate. But we don't need an awful lot of phosphorus in our soils. There's always some there. If you need to put phosphorus in your soil, if you add any general all-purpose complete fertilizer, you're going to put more than enough phosphorus in there for most things. Mike, why are you trying to change these various elements independently?
Well, I had – hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to know how to raise it. I was reading about it. I had a second question about raising potash also. I can't remember why I was reading. I think it had to do with tomatoes, keeping the nitrogen down and raising the phos and the potash.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like those are things that actually you need to do, though, right,
Jim? No, they're not. Those are academic things, and unless you're doing some specific kind of research and so forth, that's really immaterial. You don't need to worry about that at all. There is sufficient potassium.
Okay.
And certainly enough phosphorus. If you're worried about there being too much nitrogen, just don't put nitrogen on. Be very careful when you use organic material that you use stuff that's well composted.
Yeah, here a text question says, I have a vegetable garden, tested the soil, and it came up nitrogen depleted. So I ordered nitrogen pellets. It showed up in a bag with no instructions in pellet form. What do I do?
Well, you need to know what the analysis is on that stuff. It could be 33% nitrogen, 45% nitrogen, 20% nitrogen. You need to put that on so that you have 1 ounce of the actual NO3 per 100 square feet of soil. That's about the way to use that stuff. So you're going to have to do some calculations to figure out what it is. First of all, on the container, it has to have an analysis of some kind. And then what percent there is of that stuff in that material that you have. If it's a 50% material, you put on instead of 1 pound per 100 square feet, or 1 ounce per 100 square feet, you put 2 ounces per 100 square feet. Not very much.
Well, that's a lot of science for me, right here. Let's go to Bob next on WGN. Hi, you're on WGN.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a weed called Creeping Charlie, which is a pretty tough weed, and I'm about to put some weed killer on it. The weed is about 4 inches tall. Should I put it on while it's still up, or do I cut the lawn and then put on what's remaining?
Put it on when you have as much foliage as you're going to get.
Okay.
Which means you don't want to mow it first. And actually, it's best to put the chemicals on that when they're in bloom.
It still has the flower on it.
Yeah, well, that's the time to do it. Use that material on a cooler day or late in the afternoon or evening, because things like triclopyr, which is the stuff that we like to use on Creeping Charlie, if we have a day like today, it's going to volatilize and it's going to drift and it's going to damage things that you don't want to damage. So be very careful, and don't apply it if there's any wind blowing either.
All right, so you got to be kind of careful with that. Frank, you're next on WGN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great job show. I have a question. I went shopping for some mushrooms the other day, and I ended up buying 5 big bags of mushroom compost. Don't ask me why. I thought it was kind of cool. Now I'm thinking, do I put this on my outdoor garden around my vegetables, or can I also use it in potted plants, and what effects would that have as far as nutrients are concerned?
That's a great question.
It doesn't have a lot of nutrient in it because it's spent. They grow the mushrooms on this stuff, and much of the nutrient that was in it to start with has been used up by the mushrooms, so you don't have an awful lot in there. It's going to break down, and you're going to have nutrients that will be released slowly over a period of time. But you can use mushroom compost any place you want. You can use it in potting mixes. You can use it out on your garden. It's expensive to use as a general mulch, but you could dig it into garden beds or flower beds and so forth. It's a good material.
What would be a better all-around product to use, like, you know, Jim was saying, for the applications that he wants?
Well, if you go to any of these suppliers that supply bulk compost, that's been well composted. That's about as inexpensive as you can get it. There's nothing wrong with mushroom compost, and in fact, we used to have mushroom growers throughout this area, especially out in the Elk Grove area, where you can go pick this stuff up for free. And it was excellent material. I know a lot of the greenhouses that used to be out here used it. They'd mix it with the soil going in the benches and so forth. It's just a good material. It's one source of organic material that's available, and that's what you need to use it as.
Good luck with all great. That, Frank.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate your
you're
call.
Welcome.
And, Jim, as usual, whenever you're around, there's never enough time for all the questions to get in, so that only means that we're going to have you back sometime soon.
Well, that's good, Dean. We had a whole bunch of questions that you were going to ask, and you never asked them, so
I wanted to get our listeners' questions in, but we'll do it again soon. It's great to hear your voice.
Well, it's good to talk to you again, yes.
It's great.
This is fine. I'm happy to do this with you. You're a friend for many, many years, and we'll continue that.
I appreciate that, and I feel the same way. And here's a text summarizing it all. Thanks for having Jim Fazell on. He is, just as I remember, from Saturday mornings, just wind him up and let him go. So much knowledge.
That was with our mutual friend Roy Leonard. Yes, indeed.
Right, and we'll work out some times that are convenient for you if you're nice enough to just take some calls during the planting months here. Jim, have a great weekend and happy Memorial Day weekend to you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Fly your flag.